So last week we were talking about what the Holy Spirit does in our life, what His role is in the life of an unbeliever. Today we're going to talk about what the role of the Holy Spirit, actually this week and next week, we're going to be talking about what the role of the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer. We talked a little bit last week about the Holy Spirit. Although the Holy Spirit given to unbelievers is one of the things that they do is to convict them of sin. If you're a believer in Christ today and you've ever been convicted of sin since you've received Christ, let's see your hand. Okay, that's all of us. Isn't that odd that the Holy Spirit doesn't quit that work? As a matter of fact, I think after we come to know Christ, it becomes more pronounced. And the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten us to things that we didn't even see before we met Christ. And the reason for that is that He wants to make you like Christ. Isn't that incredible? And so the Holy Spirit is working in you to make you like Christ. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Turn, if you would, or look on we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is convict of sin. The second thing He does is dwells within us. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live inside you. There's a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that? Now this passage was Paul writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And if you ever wanted to see a messed up church, the church at Corinth was messed up. And so he's telling them, because if you were read the 1 Corinthians, you would see, man, they are messed up. We got a guy sleeping with his stepmom, and just all kind of garbage going on. And so he says, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want us to look at this home a second. There's a YouTube TJ that I want us to look at. And it's a house for sale in California. I'm hoping we get there. There we go. All right.
It's a wreck of a house. Who would ever even think of buying such a monstrosity? But can you believe this place is actually on the market for $475,000?
This is the living room of this ugly house. It's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and this is the good part. It's all downhill from here.
The garage is covered with vines, the floor cracked by tree roots. The bathroom looks like a horror movie set.
You can see roots coming up through the floor and through the tile. Look at that. This is the master shower.
The 60-year-old dump was once inhabited by a hoarder. Even realtor Dave Walter is calling it the ugliest house he's ever tried to sell. The house is on a cul-de-sac in Northridge, California. Homes on the block sell for more than $500,000.
I'll use my foot. Oh, wow, look at that. Does the water work?
I don't think you want to try that.
Yeah, no. I don't want to touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything.
But this realtor believes the eyesore is a great deal for somebody with a vision. Gosh. He says a buyer would profit by flipping the house.
Wow.
After major remodeling, he predicts it could even sell for $600,000.
Why not just tear it down?
Because that's actually too much expense. The frame of this house is good. It just needs to be stripped down to the studs and rebuilt.
Interested? You'd better hurry. The ugliest house on the block is expected to be snapped up soon.
Whoever lives in this home in the future is going to have an amazing place to call home.
Are you interested? Only $475,000. Only $475,000. Would you purchase something like that? Would you move into something like that? As is. You know, that's how I was when the Holy Spirit moved in me. I was messed up. Messed up from the foundation to the roof. I was messed up. And you know what the Lord paid for me? He paid His life for me. And He said, I want to move in. I want to renovate. I want to renew your life. Isn't that incredible? A lot of people think they have to wait till they get their house all in order before they invite Christ to be a part of their life. But Jesus said, I want you just as you are. Did you know that He can do a better renovation than you can? Did you know, how many of you tried to reform your life before you met Christ? How did that work out for you? You probably made a bigger mess of the thing than you started with. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, Scripture says He makes all things new. He makes all things new. Now, it takes some time, right? We're still in the process. But we're not the same as we were when we met Christ, hopefully. Hopefully, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do His job, and hopefully we are working with Him to accomplish what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Talked a minute ago about the Holy Spirit. Now that we're Christians, He's still convicting us of sin. And the reason for that is because He wants you to become like Christ. And as we yield to Him and surrender to Him and ask forgiveness for those things and come into His plan and His purpose for His life, every day there is a transformation that takes place every day. Have you ever resisted the remodel work of the Holy Spirit in your life? So have I. So have I. He wanted to take me places I wasn't ready to go yet. But isn't God wonderful and patient? There's a song, a children's song, that He's still working on me. Remember that song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just 6 days to make the moon and the stars. Something else and then Jupiter and Mars. How wonderful and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Isn't that a cool song? My wife wanted to correct me. You can come help me, honey. You can come help me. Yeah, come help me. She's the children's song leader and teacher. So, help me sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just 6 days to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. A wonder of impatient he must be. He's still working on me. Thank you, darling. He's still working on me. And we need to be patient with each other, right? Because we're all at different stages in our growth. And actually, sometimes the Lord works on this area in a person's life and then works on this area in another person's life. Have you noticed that when you get one area kind of fixed, that the Lord moves into a different room and start working on that? And we wrestle with that a while, and finally that little room gets in order, and then the Holy Spirit moves into another area. Have you noticed that? Man, if he tried to work on me all at one time, he and I both would go crazy. But he uses, he's one area at a time, and he's kind of like, okay, Brad, this is what we're working on now. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit didn't wait till you got fixed before he moved in? And I'll just say it. All of your lives were like mine, messed up. Okay? No one comes to Christ not messed up. Everybody comes to Christ messed up. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that he started in us. That's what he wants to do. That's why he lives within you. One of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. There's several reasons, and we're going to talk about a few more of those. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does for you when you come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior is he sets his seal on you. He seals you. This passage of Scripture in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It says, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can look at this in two different ways. A seal is something that someone puts their name or statement upon to claim that this is their own. I'm told that, and I've actually been on the beach where these redwood logs and others rock up on the wash up on the beach, and people have their names on. The first one who finds it can put their name on it, and that their claim that they can grab that off the beach. If somebody else don't get to it first. Some people don't recognize the claim. I'm also told, I was talking to Todd yesterday because I wanted to get this clear, since he was a logger. Loggers have a brand that they brand their logs with. Okay. So that when it goes to the mill will know whose brand. So in Oregon, you apply for this brand in the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon gives you permission to use this brand. And so every log you take into the mill, you brand it. By hitting this emblem on the end of your log. Now, I've been told, Todd said, he can't verify this. I've been told that brand will actually go all the way through the log. I don't know if that's true or not. But here's the deal. When that log is branded, that's the claim of whose log it belongs to. Nobody else has that brand in Oregon. That logger is the only one who has that. And Scripture says that the Holy Spirit seals you, what he's saying is that that God himself has a brand. And when you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's a brand that God puts on you. As a matter of fact, if you look in the book of Revelation at the end times, before the Antichrist comes and starts destroying people, God says to the angels, go and put my number, my brand, on my children so that they can be protected. So that there will not be any misunderstanding about who my children are. God has his brand. The Holy Spirit is the brand. Okay? Does that make sense? That's his seal upon you. There's another way we can use this word seal, and many of you are in the process now of canning things. Fruits coming in, vegetables coming in, berries are coming in, and you have this process where you put them in this processor and you can these things and you put a lid on them to seal it. Why do you do that? For preservation. You want it to last a while, right? And so you seal this for preservation. When the Holy Spirit seals you, there's no expiration date on the seal. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? There's no expiration date. It's for all eternity. For all eternity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the purchased possession. So Carolyn is and Teresa are realtors. Sometimes or probably always, there has to be earnest money that's given, saying, I'm going to redeem that house as my own. What's the percentage normally for earnest money? Okay, various price out. So let's just say that I put $20,000 on a house for earnest money, saying, I'm going to purchase that. And I renege on the deal. What's going to happen to my $20,000? It's gone. The word used here that Paul is talking about, it says the Holy Spirit is God's earnest. And this earnest money is given to you until God decides to come and to redeem you wholly. Make sense? So the Holy Spirit was given as an earnest down payment for your life. And when Jesus comes back or when you die, that's when the Lord redeems what he's already put his earnest on. That makes sense? That's marvelous. Isn't that marvelous? And the Holy Spirit is that earnest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest. Isn't that marvelous? So that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. That's one of his roles for a Christian, is to seal you until the time of redemption. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does. So, there's a passage of Scripture, going to John 16, 5 through 15. Actually, we're going to just read verses 5, 6, and 7 right now. It says, But now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it's just prior to him being crucified and going on to heaven. And he's telling the disciples these words, "But now I'm going away to him who sent me," which is his Father. "Not one of you are asking me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor," the Greek word for that is parakletos, and I'll get to that in a minute, "he will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus is saying, listen, as long as I'm staying here, I can't send the Holy Spirit. I've got to go send the Holy Spirit. You're going to like the Holy Spirit. You're really going to like him. You think you like me, and I'm glad that you love me, but you're really going to like the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has a role that I can't do. It's his role. And his role is not only be with you, but to be in you. Therefore, I have to go so that I can send him to you. Now, this word parakletos or paraclete means this. You can back up one slide if you would, TJ. Counselor, comforter, consoler, advocate, one who comes alongside. Now, you hear a lot about how many of you have ever needed a counselor? How many of you have ever needed a comforter? A consoler? How many of you have ever needed an advocate? Do you know that's what the Holy Spirit, that one word, parakletos or paraclete, that's what that word means. It's not, so if you look in different translations, one will say advocate, one will say counselor, one will say comforter, but actually it's all the above, not just counselor, but all of these that are mentioned. I ask this in passing, but I want you to just think a minute. Has there ever been a time you were in deep sorrow, grieving of heart? You didn't know what to do. No one could console you. But you got with the Lord. And you began to voice those things in your heart to him. And as you did, there was a comfort that came on you. Has that ever experienced? Have you ever experienced that? Or maybe you have been in the presence of someone who had a real good connection with the Lord, and they could sense what's going on in your heart, and through their words, through the Holy Spirit used them to bring comfort into your life. See, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. I told you a while ago, I hope I'm a blessing to you. You are a blessing to me. You encourage me. That's one of the words, the paraclete, an encourager. The Holy Spirit is using you to encourage me. We need to, and you do, or encourage each other daily. As long, Scripture says, as long as it's called today, encourage one another. How many of you need some encouragement? All of us need encouragement at times, don't we? And that's what the body of Christ is an encourager. And the Holy Spirit uses you. You know, there was a time like yesterday. I want to say years ago, but it's like yesterday. Maybe even today. Get so wrapped up in self that I forget about reaching out to others. I forget about that people who come into my sphere have needs, and the Lord put me there to be a influencer and encourager in their lives. I don't want to be that way. Sometimes, you know, I get so single-minded that I can't see the people beside me. I get so focused on doing what I think I ought to be doing that people slip by. I don't want to be that way. You pray for me that I not be that way. Because actually the greatest blessings come whenever I'm able and you're able to come alongside someone else and allow the Holy Spirit to use you to bless them. Have you discovered that? Definitely. But some man, if you're like me, it's easy to get blinders on. Okay? It's easy to get blinders on. The Holy Spirit wants to be our counselor, our advocate, our helper. In John 16:13, Scripture says, and actually, I'm going to read 13 through 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify Me because He will take from what is Mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is Mine. This is why I told you that He takes from what is Mine and will declare it to you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's a lot here. I'm not going to cover it all. You can take that home with you and study it. But one of the things that we find in this passage of Scripture is that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, you may hear a lot about, in this day and age, spirit guides because of the New Age teachings and that kind of thing. But I would let you know that the guides that they're talking about is not the Holy Spirit. They're unholy spirits. And they're not from God. They're from the pit of hell. But as Christians, we do have a spirit guide. And He is the Holy Spirit. He is God Himself. And Scripture says that if you need some truth in an area, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into some truth. Oh, sorry. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Glad you caught that. Have you ever been in a place you don't know where to go or what to do? Where to turn? Chaos? Confusion? You ever been there? Yeah. I think all of us have. There's a promise given to each of us as God's children. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Some of you here today are going through some troubling times and you don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here and I want to guide you where you ought to go. I'm going to show you a picture of this boat on the Columbia. So this ship, you've seen them up there in Astoria. Well, there's a little pilot boat. Why is that pilot boat there? Did you know that the Columbia, mouth of the Columbia, is one of the most treacherous places? And that the ships would not be able to come into the Columbia without a pilot boat. As a matter of fact, even during the ancient days, sailing ships, there were many ships that were grounded because the Columbia looks like it flows one way and it actually flows a different way, and many sailing ships were lost at the mouth of Columbia. The pilot is to help guide the ship. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. To help guide us. The problem we often have is in Proverbs 14:12, Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Way seems right to the man, but in the end, it's the way of death. How many of you have ever had a decision to make and you thought about it and you did your research and then you went about it and it wound up not so good? I mean, you were that like, man, I know this is going to work, and man, I don't know how many times I've done that. Spent money I shouldn't have on things I shouldn't need. Made horrible decisions in a lot of different ways. But there's a way that seems right unto a man, that the end thereof is seems death. When I depend upon my own intellect to make decisions, I've discovered that I'm not the smartest guy in the world. As a matter of fact, another passage of Scripture says, in Isaiah 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Did you know that I make a whole lot less mistakes when I pray about it? And I listen? And I follow? And sometimes I make decisions off the... Yep. And it never works out. So here's what the Holy Spirit is here for. He says, when you have a decision to make, if you ask, I will lead you. If you don't ask, you're on your own. If you ask, I'll guide you. I'll take you through those troubled waters. I'll take you into those channels. I'll take you into safe harbor. But if you don't ask, just tread water for a while. Keep running into the sandbars. Keep spinning your wheels. Just keep getting stuck. But when you're ready, and you ask, I'll be there. We have a tremendous personage working in our lives so that we don't have to wind up shipwrecked. God wants to do something. God wants to speak to some of you today. Some of you are struggling with some ideas and thoughts, and your emotions are saying, man, this is what I want to do. But often, more often than not, your emotions will run you into a brick wall. Slow down. Don't panic. Be still. Know that I am God. The Holy Spirit is here to guide you in the way that you should go. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a minute. We're going to have an invitation. Some of you have been, the Holy Spirit's been trying to direct you to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you're here today. And the Holy Spirit speaking to you and said, man, I want that Holy Spirit to live in my life. I want to repent of my sin. I want Jesus to come in and transform my heart. If that's your desire today, the Lord is here. And He wants to do that for you, in you, with you. Others of you have some decisions to make, and the Holy Spirit is here to help you in those decisions. You have not because you ask not. Father, I come before you today. I thank you for presence. I thank you for your word to us. And Lord, this message is for me as much as it is for anyone in this sanctuary. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do for us, in us, with us. Thank you for the strength that you give us, the understanding that you give us, the wisdom to make wise decisions. And Lord, we yield this time to you. And Lord, as you speak to our hearts, I pray that each one of us will be obedient to what you tell us. God, again, I pray for those this morning who need this wisdom to make the right decisions. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.